a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
It's 2:30. We've got the internet turned on. We'll call the meeting of the Public Utilities Commission to order. First order of business is approval of the minutes from the February 13th and February 17th meeting. Is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. The minutes of those two meetings are approved. One very special announcement today. We want to introduce our newest analyst to the PUC crew, Patrick Stephenson. Appreciate having you on board, and welcome.
Thank you.
With that, consumer reports. Okay, consumer reports will be held for a moment. A couple of things. For those of you on the line, make sure that you've got your phones on mute when you are not speaking. Otherwise, we get a lot of feedback. That will help all of us. And if there is no objection from my fellow commissioners, I'd like to do a change in the agenda. It's my understanding that all of the boundary requests that we're going to deal with today, and that would be items number 3 through 10, that staff thinks we can take those all as one chunk, and we've got a number of people on the phone to answer questions, and so if we can get those out of the way, we can release a lot of folks off the phones. Does that that work? Okay, with that.
We can go to.
Well, let's proceed with this particular item first, and then we'll come back around to that. So with that, we'll do EL 12-004, 005, 006, 008, 009, 010, 011, and 012. Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Ross Peterson for staff. These filings are part of the GIS mapping project to verify all South Dakota electric service territory boundaries. They're for input into the ArcMap software. The filings do not change the service provider for any consumers, but may affect updates to incorrect mapping data. Staff requests approval of all electric service territory agreements and is available for any questions.
Thank you. Do any of the individuals on the line representing any of the utilities affected by these agreements have anything they'd like to add? Seeing none, are there any questions from the commissioners? Wow. Mr. Peterson, you've obviously done well with your project. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I will move that Commission approve the proposed electric service territory boundary agreements in dockets EL 12-004, EL 12-005, 006, 008, 009, 010, 011, and 012.
Discussion on that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. And I just want to say, Mr. Peterson, I know a lot of details that you had to pull together to put all those maps together and all those descriptions, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, also thank you to all the partners that worked with us to make sure that that is now up to date and our technology is at a new level. Thank you, partners on the phone.
Very good, and you can just hear the phone calls dropping off as we speak. Deb Gregg, consumer reports.
I'm so sorry. I apologize.
Not a problem.
The commission has received a total of 80 contacts since the last report was prepared for the February 28th, 31st commission meeting. 14th commission meeting. I am all messed up today. 9 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 16 of the contacts involved electric, 8 contacts involved natural gas, 4 contacts involved cell phone, 33 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, and 10 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 309 of the 328 complaints received in 2010 have been resolved.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, thank you. With that, we will move back to the top of our agenda, EL 11-031, in the matter of the filing by Otter Tail Power Company for approval of tariff revisions. Dave Prozick, Otter Tail.
Yes, Chairman. Good afternoon.
Do you have anything for us, or would you like me to go to staff?
I do not. I'm available for questions. I think staff did a nice job of outlining the recommendation for you.
Very good. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Ryan Sway. I'm part of staff. As stated in staff's letter to the commission, there were several substantial changes in rates staff noticed in this filing, specifically the large decrease in renewable energy credits applicable to all the tariff pages and the time of delivery service and dependable service this summer on peak payments went down quite a bit. However, as Otter Tail stated in their filing, these rates have not been updated since 2010, and despite the significant decrease in these certain rates, the rate amounts offered in the proposed tariff sheets more closely reflect what is being offered by other utilities in the states in their calculations and the payments being offered small power producers. As such, staff would recommend approval of the updated tariff sheets and rates.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Feagin.
I noticed that it looked like originally, Otter Tail, that you were going to update these annually, and I know that costs money. Are you proposing that you're going to go biannual on these updates from now on?
Commissioner Feagin and Dave Prozick here. Our intention is to always update these annually with one caveat, and it depends upon rate case calendars. And that's really what happened when we did not update that last year. There was a place where we were putting in rates, final rates, and didn't adjust these rates at that time. So, yes, we'd like to do it every year with maybe an exception if we can get that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions? Commissioner Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Prozick, I noticed that the value of RECs has dropped significantly. Are you in any position to give us some soothsayer advice or information on where you see renewable energy credits going, the value?
I'm chuckling at your comment on soothsayer. I don't have a really good crystal ball, but if we would have updated them, these rates last year, we would have seen them go to about $1 per megawatt hour. So the real hit came between 2010 and 2011. So it has steadily declined as we've seen it. Based on the information that Otter Tail has, again, it's just a result of large surplus of RECs in the Midwest region. And until there's many more buyers for that or a decrease in the supply, that would affect the price.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, an EL 11-031, move that the commission approve the tariff revisions.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
And Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We'll move on to EL 12-003 in the matter of the petition of Northern States Power Company, DBA XL Energy, to discontinue customer buyback program. Ms. Valley, do you want to take that or should I go to staff?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We don't have any formal comments. We're just available for questions.
Very good. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ryan Swam, part of staff again. As mentioned on our letter, we have reviewed this program, and it has not been used since 2001 by any of Xcel's customers, and although staff is certainly favorable to these types of programs, current market conditions make the program literally useless. If or when things change, there's nothing to prevent this program from being reinstated, and I would just have to say staff appreciates that Xcel is keeping on top of their tariffs and keeping track of old and unused tariff programs, and as such, we would recommend approval.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Hansen.
I'm debating whether I want to ask a question or not. But
okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Now, this just seems like the ultimate in demand response, and would create some energy efficiency. And it's I can certainly understand why it would have a challenge working. There was in some of the information that was provided to us, there was some question about what about the aggregators and what. Is there any potential for a group? And I understand no one's been using this, and this hasn't been in existence basically till 2001. Is this working anywhere? Excel?
Commissioner Hansen, this is Phil Zins. We haven't used it in any of the state jurisdictions where we've had it in the past, including Minnesota and North Dakota, for going on 10 or 11 years now. Simply because this particular program is designed to attract additional load after we've exhausted our interruptible rates. In other words, we've got all of them called on already, and if we're still short on power, we would call on these customers. And in order to attract customers, you got to get a price up there in excess of $100 a megawatt hour, and it just hasn't happened. So it's in addition to, not a substitute for, our regular interruptible rate programs, which remain in place and are robust.
And as I understand this, they basically either need to shut down or have a backup generation source, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And that obviously creates some significant challenges.
Yeah, it's going to be a significant economic reward for them in order to do that, shut down their processes, and $100 a megawatt hour doesn't even do it, and current market prices are well below that.
My memory fails me on this. Do you give them a significant discount then on the price of electricity?
It's just the payment of whatever the market prices are, which should be right now the prevailing market prices are in the neighborhood of $30 a megawatt hour, and we have had trouble attracting customers to voluntarily give up load at even $100 or more.
And that is only when they shut down that they receive the
that's right, yeah.
discount? So they're not receiving a discounted price the rest of the time?
No.
Okay. And I know that that is a method of reducing energy as well. Do you, I don't need to get into that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you're ready for a motion, I can.
I am.
At this time. On EL 12-003, I move that the Commission approve the tariff revisions.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We will move down to telecom dockets. TC 12-013, in the matter of the filing of MidCon and Communications for approval of revisions to its access services tariff. Kathy or Mary, do you want to kick off or should I go to staff?
I think you could just go to staff.
Very good. Karen.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. Mid-Continent filed a revised tariff on February 23, 2012. The tariffs appear to be filed according to the FCC order, and staff recommends approval of the tariff revisions with an effective date of December 29, 2011 for the VoIP portions of the tariff and a February 29, 2012 effective date for the remainder of the tariff.
Okay, Mid-Continent, anything to add to that?
We're in agreement with those changes.
Questions from the commission? Commissioner Fegan.
First of all, the first question I have is why a retroactive date?
On the VoIP portion?
Correct, and I didn't hear the other date.
February 29th of 2012,
thank you.
Tomorrow. And as to that, my understanding is with that the companies were to have that in place by December 29th, the VoIP tariffs. And I thought that's what we were doing with the other ones. Unless they requested a different one, then we went with a different effective date. But for those that had requested the December 29, I thought that's what we were using.
And that's per the FCC's order.
That was my kind of my understanding, yes, that that was their effective date. And so we were permitting that as an effective date for the VoIP side of it.
Further questions? I've got a question dealing with, it appears that in the tariff you're moving the intrastate rate to the rate of the ILEC. And the administrative rule that we passed last year indicates that that should be the RBOC rate. Can you help me understand what you're trying to get at with the ILEC rate as opposed to what we understand the rule requires?
Go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, the intent was not to change the actual rate. I think it's the language that's used in the tariff as opposed to what the rate is actually going to be, because we are, Mid-Continent is at the RBOC rate.
So
in terms of numbers.
Would it not make sense to use that language in the tariff so that we're clear on what rate's being used?
Yes.
And so you would be amenable to that change?
Yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, Marion.
Yes, that's correct. We can change that.
Okay. Rolaine, looks like Rolaine's got some questions. Go ahead.
Well, when you're looking at changing that, it looked like on page 43 of your all your rates, it appears like you just copied your interstate rate. So when I looked at all those different effective dates, I don't think any of those rates were correct. And anyway, my point is you might want to check out page 43 in its entirety with respect to what your intrastate rate is.
We will do that.
You know, and I could be wrong on the dates that we use for the other VoIP PSTN dockets. I thought we generally had the order effective the day after the filing. Do you remember, Kara?
Or what they requested. I believe it's what they requested, and most of them requested that December 29 or January 1 date. That's my memory, but I didn't think to look it up before the meeting.
I know that we did a number of them with that December 29th date. But whether some of those were done before then as opposed to after, that's what I don't recall.
Right, yeah.
They were all after. They were all retroactive.
Well, at this point, I think... I don't know if the commission wants to go further or if it wants to wait until they filed there.
I think given the points that have been raised about some of the issues that need to or some of the things that need to be changed in the tariff, I think it would be appropriate to see a clean version before we actually approve it. Midco, does that create any problem from your end?
This is Nancy Vogel. We've already, because those rates had to become effective for the January billing, we already had made some changes per the FCC rules, and that's why we wanted the retroactive. But we don't have any problem making the changes on the pages you've requested. So.
And I'm gonna look to Relaine for some guidance here. Would it be best for us to wait and approve this when we get a clean copy, or can we approve it today with the understanding of the changes that we've talked about?
We've done it both ways. We've approved it after we've requested changes, you know, assuming that the changes would be made.
Thank you. Further questions?
I thought Chris had a... Did you have...
Go ahead, Chris.
The only thing I was going to add was when we began the discussion of whether or not to be able to retroactively date some of the VoIP provisions, realizing that a lot of the companies had a very small time frame to make those filings after reviewing the FCC order and then meeting the January 1st sort of going forward start date regarding those provisions, we did retroactively apply those effective dates. And I think part of the thought was behind that is that even though we were retroactively applying a rate change, the rate in almost all cases, and I think we thought it was in all cases when we were talking about it, the rate would go down, being adjusted to the interstate rate from intrastate beforehand. So we didn't think it was necessarily as improper as it may be otherwise to retroactively apply a rate change.
Commissioner Fegan.
You probably said this, but I wasn't listening well enough, Chris, when you first started. Were all those filings before January 1st or December? Because this one looks like it was filed January 5th.
There was a mix. Some were filed before the end of the year, but in many cases the intervention deadline wouldn't pass until after the first of the year. And so if you look at the tariff filings, there were many, maybe 8 or 10, that were filed at the end of last calendar year. But I don't believe any, save for possibly one, just my own recollection, were actually acted upon in the last calendar year. So if we acted upon them in this calendar year, they would almost all have to be retroactively applied to qualify for the January 1st effective date or December 29, whichever was used.
Thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Fegan.
I move to defer TC-12-013 to our next commission meeting. That's the right one, right? Yes.
Discussion on that. And again, I'm going to go back to Midco. Is that going to create any problems for you?
I think we're okay as long as we can get, you know, we'll get it corrected and sent to you as soon as possible, and then if we can get it onto the next agenda, we should be okay.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, we will guarantee that.
I could just weigh in, I guess my hope would be that you would consider approving it today pending the changes in light of the fact that I think the changes are simply changing the effective date on the pages unrelated to VoIP and changing the reference to ILEC rate on page 43 to RBOC rate.
And also, were there some issues?
Double checking those amounts.
And then, Rolaine, were there some issues with the correct effective dates on page 43?
I believe under staff's recommendation, those dates would be subject to that February 29th
okay.
date, is my understanding, because only the December 29th was the VoIP PSTN provisions.
Okay, I'm fairly clear on what needs to be changed. Kathy, I understand you're clear on what needs to be changed. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I would move a substitute motion to approve the Mid-Continent tariff with the changes that we have referenced. Discussion on that. My purpose in making that motion, I'm fairly clear. I think everybody is fairly clear on what needs to be changed. And you know, the further we get from December 29th, the more uncomfortable I get with a retroactive date. And so the quicker we can do this, as long as everybody's clear on what we're changing. Hence my motion. Other discussion. Commissioner Fegan.
Has Has the other items been corrected in the second version of inter-exchange carrier and intrastate communication and all that, and the spelling of Public Utilities Commission? And have those things been also corrected?
No, I think they're revised. If you're making, we just noticed that when you have commission, it's misspelled your definition. And when you talked about inter-exchange carrier, you referred to a carrier engaged in interstate. I think that was just with respect to your copying from the your FCC tariff to this tariff.
And so those points are something, Rolaine, that you can get to Kathy so she's got those in writing.
Yes, those are just minor revisions.
Yeah, if you could let me know, then we can make those changes as well.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor vote of the substitute motion to approve with the understanding we're going to make some changes. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes no.
Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We will move on to TC 12-016 in the matter of the complaint and request for declaratory ruling filed by Mid-Continent Communications against Paytech Communications and McLeod USA Telecommunications Services regarding the delivery of telecommunications traffic and payment for such traffic. Staff.
This is Kara Semler for staff. I guess I'd first... Did you want to handle the staff's request first or the interventions first? If you'd like to handle...
Actually, I do want to handle the intervention first. Let's...
I would pass that off to the petitioning parties first.
Okay, let's do the intervention first. And we've got SDTA, and we've got LECA, and we've got Rich Coit that is ready to go with SDTA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Richard Coit. I serve as the Executive Director and General Counsel for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. First, I would just clarify that we filed this petition to intervene before the complaint and request for declaratory ruling were amended, revised to add McLeod Communications. So, our comments in this process, the comments we made in a petition to intervene, would, I suppose, equally apply to McLeod as well as Paytech. I don't have a lot to add. I guess I would just like to clarify that, our interest in this proceeding really rests with the declaratory ruling part of the process. If this would have been strictly a complaint, I would guess that we probably would not have intervened. Not that we don't have interest in the issues, but it's the petition for a declaratory ruling that really seems to have brought this into more of an industry-wide docket. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, we've been having issues as a rural like industry across the country with call termination. One of the issues or one of the sets of allegations deal with that, and there's claims that Paytech, at least Paytech, has been doing some things to their traffic to prevent that traffic from terminating into rural exchange areas. So we have a lot of concern about that, and the questions are raised as to whether those practices on the part of Paytech result in any violations of 2931.10 and 2931.11 of the commission's the statutes that are under the commission's jurisdiction. There are also phantom traffic issues raised, and some statutory interpretation issues presented regarding 4931.111 and 4931.112. As Ms. Wiest well knows, we actually were involved in a United States District Court proceeding involving both of those statutes and others relating to phantom traffic. There's some questions as to the extent to which any of those statutes survived that U.S. District Court decision, but in any event, those statutes are claimed to be applicable here, and to the extent that they have not been completely preempted by federal law. So we have interest in those issues as well. All of our companies provide switched access services. We know that we terminate traffic from Paytech and McLeod, and based on that, we claim that we have an interest in this proceeding and would seek intervention. And with that, I'd take any questions that you might have.
Questions from the commission? Seeing none, let's go to Lekka and Ms. Rogers, and welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. My name is Darla Pullman Rogers, and I am the attorney for LECA, which is the Local Exchange Carriers Association. Our interests in this docket are very similar to those mentioned by Mr. Coit on behalf of SDTA. In fact, most of our members are the same companies. I would also point out that from LECA's perspective, LECA administers a voluntary pooling mechanism, and we also file the tariff on behalf of our member companies. And so to the extent that there is any type of traffic that is not properly labeled or mischaracterized, that could also adversely affect the LECA pool. And so in addition to the other policy issues, in addition to the dropped blocked calls, in addition to Paytech's terminating calls to our companies, we believe that we do have an interest in this docket, and certainly any rulings that you would make would and could affect us. So we would ask that you would grant our petition to intervene.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, any response from Mid-Continent to the request for intervention?
We don't have any objection to the request for intervention.
Thank you. Any response from Paytech?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Meredith Moore appearing on behalf of Paytech and McLeod this afternoon. Paytech and McLeod are not objecting to the petitions to intervene filed by SDTA or LECA. I've had the opportunity to visit with both Mr. Coit and Ms. Rogers in regard to their clients' respective interests in this particular docket, and as I believe they both indicated, they are primarily interested in that portion of this docket requesting a declaratory ruling and the specific policy issues that are necessarily implicated in that particular declaratory ruling. I also had an opportunity to visit with them about the concerns of my clients in this particular matter, which are twofold. The first of which is that they're concerned about the intervener's potential participation in any settlement negotiations that may occur between the complainant or the respondents, or any attempts to forestall any settlement related to the complaint. Again, Ms. Rogers and Mr. Coit indicated that their primary interest in this particular docket relates to the declaratory ruling section of it, and they didn't believe they would have any issues with any settlement negotiations that would occur between the complainant and the respondents directly. Secondly, my client had a concern with regard to the discovery that may, in fact, be exchanged in this particular docket because of the call termination issues and the underlying issues related to charging numbers, what have you. There could be a significant number of confidential and proprietary documents necessarily exchanged between Midco and Paytech and McLeod, and because of that, there were some concerns about that information being disclosed to anyone it needn't be disclosed to. And in speaking again with Mr. Coit and Ms. Rogers, they both indicated that they would cooperate with us to the extent possible to ensure that any confidential documents either may not be disclosed in their entirety or that an appropriate confidentiality order or agreement, would be entered into so as to protect that particular basis. But otherwise, we are not objecting to either of the petitions to intervene. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Moore, I just say that I appreciate your working out your concerns ahead of this meeting today. Staff, any comment on this portion of it?
This is Kara Semler. Generally, interventions in a complaint setting can create some awkwardness, so we too appreciate the parties working together ahead of time, and we support the request for intervention.
Thank you. Any questions from the commissioners on any of for any of the folks that are appearing before us? OK, Okay, seeing none, let's take a vote on this issue first, and then we'll go on to the second issue. Is there a motion, Commissioner Hansen?
Mr. Chairman, I move to grant intervention to all parties.
Discussion on that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Aye.
And Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Intervention is granted to the two parties. We will go on to the second question, the request for the extension of the declaratory ruling decision time, and I will go to staff first on this one.
This is Kara Semler again for staff. We stand by the request made in the February 21st filing with the commission. I think we simply all need some additional time to work through these issues. And, in fact, we have circulated a draft procedural schedule that generally everyone's in agreement on. We have a few tweaks we need to make, but if you approve this request today, I believe we'll come to you next with a stipulated procedural schedule.
And am I correct that declaring February 1st as the beginning of the first 60 days is something that needs to be part of this also?
February 8th
or
was
February
the filing
8th.
Date. And yes, please. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Midco, any comments?
We don't have any objection to that, using that date or to the extension.
Paytech McLeod.
We have no objection either, Commissioners.
And our new parties to the docket. No objection from Mr. Coit. None from Ms. Rogers. And so everybody's playing well together today so far. This is good. With that, any further questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? I would move that in docket TC 12-016, that we declare February 8th as the beginning of the initial 60 days and that we grant an additional 60 days to the deadline for issuing the declaratory ruling. Discussion on that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to TC 12-020 in the matter of the approval of an amendment to an internet connection agreement between CenturyLink and New Singular Wireless PCS LLC and its CMRS operating affiliate doing business as AT&T Mobility. With that, I will go to staff first.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. The amendment was properly filed, properly executed, and does not appear to contain discriminatory provisions. No comments were filed. Staff recommends the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No. Agree with staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in TC 12-020, move that the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Which brings us to TC 12-021 in the matter of the filing of MCC Telephony of the Midwest LLC for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number 1. And we'll go to staff first. Karen.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. The tariffs appear to be filed according to the FCC order, and staff recommends approval of the tariff revisions filed on February 23, 2012.
Thank you. And Ms. Brandl, any comment?
No comments, but available for any questions.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Rolaine, any questions?
Yeah, I just wanted a couple of clarifications. It appeared from the letter that you put in with your revisions. Is it my understanding that you'll be actually charging the intrastate switched access rate to all of your intrastate traffic, including the VoIP PSDN traffic?
That's correct.
Okay, so then when you look at 5.3 of your newly revised tariff, doesn't that state that you'll be applying the interstate switched access rate?
I guess, yeah. And the basic point was that with the filing, the company reduced its intrastate rates to match their interstate rates to the extent that they didn't already. It will be intrastate revenue in the sense that it's jurisdictionally an intrastate, but it's the same numbers, basically.
It was my understanding that some of your intrastate rates were lower than your interstate rate. Isn't that correct?
Hang on half a second. Let me look at what we had. That's possible. I'd have to go back through them, to be honest.
Well, you said that in your letter has set its intrastate switched access rates to a level at or below the company's interstate.
That's correct. You're right.
So parts of those, I looked at your FCC tariff online and then looked at this. It appeared that there were a couple of instances where your intrastate rate was lower. Is that your understanding?
Yes, that would be. I apologize for the confusion.
And so my question is, with respect to 5.3, then, doesn't that say you're charging your interstate rate? And the reason I'm bringing all this up is that I recently read one of the clarification orders to the FCC, and I believe they said to the extent for VoIP PSDN traffic, to the extent that your intrastate rate is lower than your interstate rate, you can't charge your interstate rate.
That's our understanding as well, and we should have revised that section in 5.3 to make it clear. When these were being prepared, the understanding was that all of the rates would match exactly, and it was only subsequently that we realized there were some discrepancies where intrastate rates were already lower and therefore were capped.
Okay, I understand. I was wondering why you had it, different rates, but that makes sense now.
Well, it's the effect of the cap at the federal and the interstate level, and
yep.
So we couldn't bring them up to meet the interstate rates in effect where they were already lower.
So maybe with respect to 5.3. Could you just file a revision to that to reflect that, and I don't know how you want to word it, but maybe that it would be the interstate rate or the intrastate rate, whichever is lower. Would that be right?
Well, there's some uncertainty, but I have a suggestion from something we filed in another state, though, is a statement that simply states we will charge the intrastate rates, which are at or below the interstate rates and therefore consistent with the FCC order.
Oh, well, that works.
And that makes it very clear that the interest, it makes what's been stated in the letter clear in the tariff, that the interstate rates are at or below and therefore consistent.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
But that it builds for the intrastate rates because then everybody's very clear where to look.
Right, because under that, that makes sense with respect to why you don't have some sort of factor then, correct?
Exactly.
Because you don't need to, have two different, buckets of switched access rates.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so Rolaine, we would be satisfied with a letter to that effect?
A revised tariff page.
Revised tariff page.
Okay.
And Ms. Brandl, you're good with that revision?
Absolutely.
Questions from the commission? Is there a motion? I will move that NTC 12-021 that the commission approve the requested tariff changes, including a new tariff page to reflect the changes that have just been talked about. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Last docket item, TC 12-022, in the matter of the filing by Bandwidth.com, CLAC LLC, for approval of revisions to its access services tariff. Karen.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. The tariffs appear to be filed according to the FCC order, and staff recommends approval of the tariff revisions filed on February 23rd, 2012.
And do we have anybody from bandwidth.com on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Sharon Thomas. I'm a consultant with Technologies Management representing Bandwidth, and I believe that Lisa Jill Freeman from Bandwidth.com CLEC is on as well.
Thank you. Anything that you'd like to add?
No, sir, not at this time, unless you have questions.
Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Feagin.
Mr. Chairman, in TC-12-022, move that the Commission approve the requested tariff changes.
Thank you. Discussion on that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That is the last of our docket items. A couple of announcements. Commissioners and staff will be at the Sioux Empire Home Show this weekend, March 2nd through the 4th. And the next regularly scheduled meeting will be at 1:30 p.m. A note, different time, 1:30 p.m., March 13th, room 413 in the Capitol Building. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
All those in favor, vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
And Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.